abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In this portion here, and what we have looked at earlier in verse 5, that we see here that the sheep flee the stranger. And then in this portion down concerning the hireling, we see that the hireling fleeth the sheep. The sheep flee from the stranger. They don't recognize his voice. They don't recognize his care. They don't recognize his leading or anything of that sort. And they flee the stranger. And of course, as we looked at it, the religious rulers and the Pharisees and so on were strangers to God's grace. And I want to think a little bit more in verse 10. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Christ's life in our life, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul says. It's Christ's life in our lives. It's the only way that we can be saved and that we can know the Lord as sheep, is by recognizing his life in our life. He indwells us, doesn't he? By his Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us and he lives within us through the work of the Spirit of God. His life in our life. In John chapter 1, John says, in him is life, and his life is the light of men. He has the key to life, doesn't he? He has the only key that fits the lock, that will unlock the lock of true life. He's the only one that holds that key, isn't he? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is life. And his life is the light of men. And it's his life in you and I that changes, gives us a new life. And it is what, like the seed that falls into the ground and dies. And unless it dies, it brings forth fruit. And it's dying to self and the things of ourselves in the only way that we can bear fruit. As that seed germinates in our lives, and as we grow and as we mold over the things of God in our lives, that's the only way that we can truly grow in his life and live for him and to love him and to be content with his life. It's his life in us. And I think it just ought to really, and as I was thinking of it this afternoon and going over some things, his life is everything, isn't it? It's his life that he died on the cross for our sins, and he paid the penalty for our sins, that we might be brought into his life through redemption. That his life might be seen in and through us. We're to be ambassadors for Christ, aren't we? We're to tell others and be good ambassadors because we're representing the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to show forth that new life that we have in Christ. And that ye might have it more abundantly. And we looked at this some last week. The abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think that the blind man who received his sight, he received spiritual sight, and his earthly sight and his spiritual sight abundantly. This young man could be seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only spiritually, but physically. What abundant life this man received as he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God, the Son of Man. He truly is who he said he is. He's the one that healed me. And there was no question in his mind. The abundant life. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a great expression of words that we see here. As Paul prays before God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, far more than we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's his power that worketh in us. It's only through his power, not any power of our own, is it? We're powerless in ourselves. We're weak. But through his power can he do exceeding abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. You know, sometimes our thinking is very shallow, isn't it? And sometimes we limit in our minds what God really could do. And far more than, but he wants to do far more than what we could even ask or think. What a great God we have. His life of Christ that dwells within us, his power within us, he wants to do exceeding abundantly more than we could ask or think. And you know, sometimes we We get taken up with our own pressures of life and perhaps some struggles that we're going through or some difficulties. And we get taken up more with those than the life of Christ. I know I'm guilty of that. Of letting the things of this world, the things that really are going to pass away, aren't they? These bodies are going to pass away unless the Lord comes before and takes us home. But all the earthly things are going to pass away. But what lasts forever is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This life that He wants us to have abundantly. And if we dwell more on His life and what He can do, I think the things of this world will go strangely dim. I think we would view differently on some of the things in which we struggle with. And there are things that are certainly are legitimate, that really are great pressures of life. And some things that we bear. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore them. But He bore them for the sake of God's glory. You know, he wants to, God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now in that portion, He's talking about temporal needs there. The church of Thessalonica that ministered to Him in personal needs there in prison. But He can supply our needs, can't He, in a temporal way. He's able to do that. And He wants to do that. He wants our life to be centered around His. And if we could only get a hold of that truth, of the new life in Christ, and the power of that new life to be lived through us, is only through the power of Christ, of the Spirit of God, as He shows us the things of Christ and the things of His Word. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. In John, back in John, there, the Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. We see here an hireling. He had a stranger they fled from because they didn't know His voice. And here the hireling, whose sheep they don't even belong to, he's just a hireling. He's just a hired person to care for the sheep, to care for them, and but we see when there was trouble that came along, the hireling fled. When he saw the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep. He leaves them. He doesn't stick around to see what happens, what the wolf will do. He doesn't try to defend the sheep, does he? Why should I die in the hands of this wolf? He flees for his life. And he catches them. He's out to kill and to destroy. And that's what he does. The wolf catches them and he scatters the sheep. I remember at home we used to have some chickens in the chicken coop. And at night, all of a sudden, it might be in the middle of the night or wherever, you hear the chickens squawking and all, and you can tell that they're rustled up. And you'd go out and you'd see a fox. There, he'd have one of the chickens. And that's the picture here of the wolf that comes in amongst the sheep. He steals, he kills, he destroys the unity of the sheep, and the sheep scatter. You know, I believe that in my own thinking here in this portion, that the wolf certainly is Satan, isn't he? When Satan comes to snatch away and divides and destroys as the sheep scatter. That's what Satan does, doesn't he? Satan is as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour. He wants to kill and to destroy. And that's what Satan's aim is. It was the time that he fell, and it's the same force, his plan is the same. That's what he wants to do. And in the last days, of the church, we see Satan at work. The God of this world, we see him at work, don't we? We see he has his plan, and we see that he's at work today. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. He's a picture of the Pharisees and the religious rulers that just leave for their own and looking at themselves and not for the sheep, because they're not the true shepherd, are they? They're just a hireling. You know, Satan uses tactics today. I think there's wolves of false doctrine that is being taught today. People are being deceived by the wolf. He wants to destroy our faith. Thank you very much. There's a wolf of weakening our faith and destroying our faith. Satan is behind these types of tactics. If he can get one to be weak in faith, then he's stronger. We need to be careful of the influence and be aware of the influence of the wolf. He takes away our love for the Lord and turns our love into other things. These are things that the wolf wants to do. He wants to scatter the sheep. The pride of a wolf of pride. And I think three of his tactics are found in, as John writes again in his first epistle, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the tactics of Satan that he uses today. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, isn't it? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That life, his life in our life, is greater than the life of the world. How we need to be obedient to his life and to walk in his ways. And let's go on. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. After all that the hireling has done, doesn't care for the sheep. He only cares for himself. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Knows my sheep. And am known of mine. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. We belong to, we're his. We're known of the Good Shepherd. We're known of mine. And the Lord Jesus prays there and says, all mine is thine. And the Lord Jesus came to do the Father's will. All mine is thine. We belong to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus belongs to the Father. All that the Father has given him is his. It is all that was committed to the Son. All that believed in him, that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, belongs to the Father. All mine is thine. It's a great thought when we think of it, that the Lord Jesus, in complete obedience to the Father, in carrying out the Father's plan, all that he has done, all that was done through him, is given to the Father. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. He knows my sheep, and that we belong to him, and we know our shepherd. In verse 3, 1 John 2 and verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. If we say we know him, that we know our shepherd, we're his sheep, then we must spend time in his word, don't we? We must keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. We must keep his commandments. If we say that we know him and we don't, we're a liar. We're not telling the truth. We're a liar. And I was 2 weeks ago, I was asked to be a witness on a case with a lady that had bought this house and had some problems with plumbing, and was seeing if she could get some recourse on the seller. And before you could say anything, you had to put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, as you know, and swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. I thought they had done away with that, but I was thrilled to see that. But you know, people don't always tell the truth to me. Not always truthful. Satan is a father of lies, isn't he? But if we don't keep his commandments, if we say we do, if we say we know him, we're only a liar before God. And the truth is not in him. But his life is the life of truth, isn't it? That's the life that is within us. And if we, he uses the word abide, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Not only to keep his word, to know him through his word, but to walk, to abide in him. John uses that word in John chapter 15, isn't it? The vine and the branches. And he uses it again here. Abide in him. Ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And then let's go down verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And the Lord Jesus, as the great shepherd, giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's a loving shepherd, kind. He's a shepherd of mercy and of grace. But he's willing to lay down his life. He has power to lay it down and power to take it again. He's able to lay down his life. He's God. And yet man. But he's God, manifested in the flesh, isn't he? He has the power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Little did they know that truly he has that power to lay down his life for the sheep and to take it back again. What great words that the Lord Jesus speaks concerning his life and the power that he has to take his life again. Now let's go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The security of the shepherd. We're secure in the good shepherd. When we enter in through the door, we're secure in him. He's the door. That's the only way that we can enter in is through the door. This is the shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in his hand. And we're in the Father's hand. All those who believed in Christ and followed him is Christ. And thine is mine. So it is with the security of that we have in Christ, that we're in the Son's hand and we're in the Father's hand. How sure that is, isn't it? Those who teach that you can lose your salvation, that you can drop out. Neither can any man pluck thee out of my hand. There are those who teach that no man can, but you can yourself. And that's a dangerous thinking, because that's not what the Scripture says. That we cannot pluck ourselves out of his hand, because we're secure. We're so protected as the Father and the Son that we have this assurance. In John chapter 8, concerning I am the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, he that cometh to me shall in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. It will never happen. You'll never be cast out. You'll never be put out of the sheepfold. You'll never be scattered as Satan wants to do. But we're safe and we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his abundant life. I'd like for us just to sing this song. Maybe we could sing it a cappella. We know it. Rather than have Aunt Ruth come up, number 77 in the Black Book. We'll sing of the shepherd that died for the sake of the flock. His love to the utmost was tried, but firmly endured as a rock. Mike, would you start this, please?
We'll sing of the shepherd that died for the sake of the flock. His love to the utmost was tried, but firmly endured as a rock. When blood from the victim must flow, his shepherd by pity was led to stand between us and the foe, and willingly died in our stead. Our song then forever shall be, is he. No thing so affecting to us of him and his love.
Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Help us to be good followers of him and allow him to lead us in the way in which we should go. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.